Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Welcome to this week's episode of the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs, where it's... Man, it just snowed at the recording of this episode. You're hearing this a week later, of course, but yeah, we got a dump of snow when it was like almost spring. People call it a false spring. I called bullshit. But anyway, here we are. So now we're in a nice, warm, yellowy environment. If you're doing the listen-watch version on YouTube, and we got yourself all set up for a story time coming up soon. So hang in there. We're going to get into story before the story, because this season, again, we're exploring stories and how they affect every single thing in your life. And we've been over a lot of reasons as to why your life is all stories. So listen to previous episodes to check those parts out. And now tune in for story before the story, where we're going to get into another side that we know, but we have to bring it up because it's part of the exploration this season. So ready? 3, 2, 1. See you there. Story before the story time, folks. Okay, this one is 100% obvious. Everybody knows this. But at the same time, it has to be pointed out. Again, as said in the intro, we need to like have sort of, I want to have this like cohesive, full exploration into stories into your life, everybody's life, every day, all the time, right? So in the interest of being thorough, let's talk about the news, all right? We all know that there's good news sources, there's bad news sources, and of course there's sort of that stuff in between where it's, you know, you could, it's hit or miss, right? But the funny part is, well, not even funny, the tragic part is, I use the word funny here in the word of tragedy, that's the way I mean it, is we're fed a lot of crap. We know this too, which makes it worse, right? But like, we have to, one, be super diligent on like whatever news we absorb in terms of like reliable sources, like legit reliable sources that can be fact checked to make sure this is what it is. Or like sources that say, you know, we fact checked such and such and therefore this is true, you know? But we also know that there's a pile of crappy news outlets out there. I mean, I think of Men in Black, right? When they said, let's go check the hot sheets, and they went over to the tabloids and that's where all the real news was. And we have like, obviously, publications like that. We also have, of course, news programs like that, whether that's on TV or whether that's on your phone or whether that's, you know, radio or whatever. And we know that they're feeding us garbage, you know, or they've been found out as feeding people garbage. And that's a scary thought. I mean, we could always say now, yeah, we know that's stupid and scary, but at the same time, and people believe it. But that's fine for right now to say that. But like, think about it for a second. If you were to start now and work your way backwards down the timeline, years over years over years over years, how much BS have you been fed that you believed? And myself included, right? How much crap have I taken in that's completely fiction and I, in my mind, is true, you know, because the news said so, you know? And we, you know, as you're growing up, you know, you're kind of raised to like trust those on TV. They know what they're talking about. They're the ones with the jobs. They have the expertise, et cetera, et cetera. And then you find out later in life, it's all horse crap, but you get the idea, right? So I can't help but wonder now, when we're thinking of our knowledge of, say, world events or people, like people that make the news and that kind of stuff, how much of that is real in our recollection? How much of it is true? How much is on record somewhere as being true when it's actually being false? And I'm thinking, crap, like, news is sort of like our history books now, right? Like, yes, we do have historians chronicling things, and that's good, and that's important. But, and of course, the internet is one giant historical archive. But, yeah, I mean, like, I can't help but wonder now, like, we're all dead, right? Let's pretend we're all dead, everyone's dead, and 1,000 years from now, this stuff surfaces, and they're looking at Fox News and thinking all this stuff is true, and I'm like, that's not how the history went, really, but that's what they're gonna think at that time. And then it makes us wonder, of course, too, how much crap is in our history books, right? I mean, we can't check with the guys, they're dead, so we can't verify if the guy was drunk when he wrote it down. We can't verify if he was on anything. We can't verify if he or she were joking around. I mean, yeah, certain stuff has obviously been validated through archaeological finds and various corroborating evidence and that kind of stuff. And that's great. I'm glad that we have that sort of checkpoint. But there's a bunch of stuff that is claimed that we just haven't been able to prove. We just kind of take it at face value, saying, you know, the history book says this, therefore this is what happened, ergo, we're going to go with it, right? And yeah, so anyway, that's what scares me, is just how much fiction we are fed through the guise of nonfiction, which in turn affects our thinking, affects our moods, affects what we say, affects how we view others, affects everything. And I think this is a call to action for all of us to be like, be careful what you take in. And if you are taking in something and it's, I mean, sensationalism is 100% all the time now because everything needs to sell, sell, sell. But if something's really sensationalized, odds are it's false. And then two, yeah, you're going to have to just take a look and really start separating the wheat from the chaff, because otherwise you're going to be living in stories. I mean, there's nothing wrong living in stories, but at the same time, if you're looking for truth and nonfiction, you have to do that effort. Anyway, that's kind of a scary thought about the news. Enough about that. Let's go on to story time. This one is a superhero tale that is unusual. Re-creation. Peter Parker, bitten by a radioactive spider, received superpowers in return. Bruce Banner, hit by gamma rays, received monstrous superpowers. Barry Allen, struck by lightning and crashed through a wall of chemicals, superpowers. Steve Rogers, injected with the super soldier serum, superpowers. Fantastic Four, exposed to cosmic rays while on a space mission, superpowers. And that was just the beginning of the list Kurt Maxim made to reinforce the point that, under the right circumstances, superpowers could be obtained. Kurt was 18 years old, fresh out of high school, worked as a grocery bagger at Safeway, and had no idea what he wanted to do as a career. But he did know one thing: the city was a dangerous place to live and needed some help. He stood alone in his mother's bathroom, an empty tub before him, the voices in his head always chanting, "Ha ha, look at Kurt, all covered in yogurt," Jake Climston said. Jake thought himself a football star, but never made the team, so seemed to take his frustration out on anyone smaller than him. "You kidding? I hate freckles." "Yeah, I said freckles, the ones you have," Sheila Langhart said that day Kurt asked her to point out to prom. Boy, was she a knockout. He'd had a crush on her for years. "Quiet," Kurt said, pressing his palms to the side of his head. He surveyed the crowded, bottle-covered sink in front of him. Mouthwash, WD-40, paint thinner, coffee, milk, pesticide, hairspray, hair dye, whiskey, acetaminophen, Robaxaset, shaving cream, and many other things. Superpowers. Random occurrences, random mixtures. So far as he understood anyway, especially in the case of Barry Allen. One by one, he dumped each bottle's contents into the tub. When the mixture grew too thick, he added a bit of tap water, figuring the chemical additions to the city's water would only add to his cause. "What are you doing in there? Why are you taking so long?" his mother asked through the door. "Nothing. Taking a crap. Sometimes it takes time." "Whatever you say." "Yeah, whatever I say." He mixed a strange brew with a wooden spoon, in his mind's eye imagining the various molecules from each item connecting, bonding, becoming something they were not before. The concoction smelled awful, but who said becoming super was all rose petals and bubblegum? Gum. Kurt spat the piece he chewed into the mixture. He stripped down naked and looked at himself in the mirror. His gut stood out, his mini man breasts always a source of defeat. Guys his age should be athletic and trim, but his asthma. He snapped his fingers, remembering his inhaler. He dug around in his jeans pocket on the floor, pulled it out, and sprayed it into the mix until it was empty. Once more, he gave the stuff a stir. Time to let it sit, he told himself, again envisioning the bonding of molecules and atoms. You'll never amount to anything. Those were his father's words before he skipped out on him and his mom 4 years back. You have to make a decision about your future. His mother's voice. Can't be a beggar forever. Do that, and you'll be a beggar. Kurt leaned over the counter, stared at the mirror, and looked himself in the eye. I'm going to save the city. I'm going to be great. I won't be a beggar. I won't be a nothing. He turned the bathroom lights off, picked up his flashlight, and stuck it between his teeth. Shining the light on the bulbs above the sink, he unscrewed the one closest to the tub. With electrician's tape, he taped down one end of a copper wire deep into the interior of the bulb's housing. He pulled the remainder of the wire close to the tub and laid it down beside him. He turned off the flashlight and fumbled in the dark. He tripped over his clothes on the ground. He smacked his head against the countertop. On his way down to the floor, he turned on the light switch. Somewhere through the daze, there was a knock on the door. Kurt, what happened? Did you fall off the toilet? His mother again. What's that smell? What did you eat? I'm okay, he said, though his head throbbed. He glanced over towards the tub tilting left, then right, growing in and out of focus. Blood trickled down from just above his eye. He mouthed the word, good. An open wound, direct exposure to the mixture in the tub. Kurt tried standing, but his spinning head forbade that, and the best he could muster was a crawl into the bathtub. He fell over its side and submerged himself in the cold, foul liquid with a splash. Soak, he thought. Goosebumps covered his body, and he imagined his pores drinking in the... All went fuzzy and dark. Another knock at the door. Kurt, you've been in there an hour. Are you sick? It took him a moment to remember where he was. I'm fine, Mum. He wasn't sure if he thought the words or spoke them. But when she didn't reply, he supposed he had indeed said them and she had left him alone. He raised his hand out of the liquid. His skin was stained coffee brown. Kurt reached over the side of the tub and found the wire. Soon. Soon I'll be... He pulled the wire into the tub with him. The electric current sent him into a spasm head to toe. The alcohol in the brew went aflame. Heat, pain, heart pounding in his ears. His mother suddenly in the bathroom, screaming. Kurt tried to speak, but his mouth was under the liquid and nothing came out. The booming of his heart, the searing of his skin, then silence. Eyes closed. Darkness. Beneath a heavy blanket, in a room smelling of antiseptic, Kurt Maxim awoke. Thanks for sticking around till after the credits. This one is a challenge to you. That's what this segment's about. It's gonna be a challenge to you, and it's a challenge to me too. Okay, so this coming week, at some point, I want you to go out of your way, right? Find a good moment, go out of your way, find somebody who's clearly having a rough time, whether it's a minor rough time or a really rough time, it doesn't matter. The point is rough time. Find someone who's in that state. And I want you to pull out a case of the stupids and make that person laugh, even if it's to your own shame. Because what you're doing is you're giving of yourself to make that person feel better, or persons, if you happen to be a part of a group. Okay, so that's the challenge this week, to deliberately go out of your way and make someone laugh because you could sense that they could really need it. Okay, go do that, and I'll see you next week.